So we're in the second Mishnah, Daf Ches Amud Beis. We started, let's just review the introduction very superficially at least. The Torah says in Vayikra Tezvav, Ish kiyeh zov mibsaro zovo tomehu. How does a person become a zov? If he sees only one ri'iyah of zov, then he's tomei what's called a tumas erev, and he has the same din as someone who's roeh shichvas zora. And then all he needs is harif shemesh, he goes into the mikvah, and he's tahor. There's no zayin nekiyah, there's no karbon. If he sees two ri'iyos, whether on the same day or two consecutive days, then he needs Zayin Nikiyin. And if he sees a third Re'iyah, either all on the same day, or let's say two on one day and one on the next day, as long as there was no Hefsek in between. If there's a Hefsek in between, then he's back to one Re'iyah. But to calculate three Re'iyos to become a full-fledged Zav, it has to be consecutive without any Hefsek of a Yom. And then not only does he have to count Zayin Nikiyin, but after he goes to mikvah, following the Zayin Nikiyin, he has to bring a double karbon. We said, Shtei Torim, Shtei B'nei Yonah, one for Chatos, one for Ula. And our Mishnah wants to know, what's the difference between a Zav who sees Shtei Re'iyos and a Zav who sees three Re'iyos?
We're told then that Shteizos knows that Ziva is Ba'ariya.
Okay. What do we call venereal disease, right? Yes. That's the fancy term.
Yes.
Okay. So the Mishnah establishes Ein Bein Zav HaRosh Shtei Re'iyos LeRosh Shalosh Re'iyos Ela Karbon. The only difference is as far as the Karbon. They both require Zayin Nekiyim. And the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time to try to figure out how we derive this. Yeah, I forgot. All right, we'll see. Maybe we'll run over here to the back of the shul and get a Chumash. Okay. All right. It's good to see the Psukim inside.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, because the psukim are very critical here. The Gemara is going to try to derive from these psukim the difference between shtei re'iyos and shalosh re'iyos. And the Gemara, I forgot to mention that the Gemara is going to establish that as far as tuma chamura is concerned of zav, then even shtei re'iyos is enough to generate a tuma chamura. That's the first line in the Gemara here. Hole inyan mishkav u'moshav. Right, there's a big chumrah with regard to Zav, in that his mishkav, his moshav, has the status of an av hatumah. And what we mentioned last time, we'll just review it very quickly, is afilu hoyu eser matzos tachtov lo noga bahen. So there are 10 layers of mattresses or sheets, whatever it might be, below him, and he didn't touch them, they all become avos hatuma to be metame adam v'kelim. On the other hand, if we talk about a regular negiyah of a zav, which is not mishkav u'moshav, in other words, there's no weight of his body on top of something, just he has physical contact with it, that only generates what's called a rishon l'tuma, that's metame only ochlin u'mashkin, but not Adam v'Kelim. And Rashi works this all out. The Gemara says, V'u Sfiras Shiva, also as far as counting Zayin Nekiyim is concerned, once again, there's no difference between a Zav who sees Shtei Re'iyos or one who sees Shalosh Re'iyos. Zev is Eshavin, both Shtei Re'iyos and Shalosh Re'iyos, it's the same identical status of a Zav. And therefore, the only difference, as the Mishnah mentions, is as far as karbon is concerned. And that means the ola and the chatos of shtei torim or shtei b'nei yonah, which the zav has to bring after he goes through the process of zayin nekiyim and he's tovel b'mikvah. Otherwise, shtei re'iyos and shalosh re'iyos are the same. There's a whole discussion here. I think I touched on it last week. About Sfira. How do you count the Sfira, whether it's Sfira B'peh? You remember that?
Yep.
Or it's just to make sure that he has the right Cheshbin. And there's a shita here of the aguda that he needs limnos peper. And I would assume again, I don't have the sefer agud in front of me, that he would also require a bracha. There's also an addition here in the name of the Rashash. The Rashash says that the equation here that the Mishnah establishes between a Zav Bal Shterius and Bal Sholosh Risho even applies to what's called Mayim Chayim. Okay, that has to do with the dinim of Tvila, Hilchas Mikvos, and there's something called Mayim Chayim, whereas a general mikvah is not called Mayim Chayim, but in the case of a Zav, he needs Tvila in Mayim Chayim, and that applies again to a Zav Bal Shterius as well. So now we get to the main sugya for this Mishnah, and that is Minani Mili. How do we know from whence do we derive the psukim? This is all about Yalfusas, a classical sugya of Yalfusas. How do we know that a Zav Bal Shterius has the same din as a Bal Sholosh Rius as far as Tumah is concerned? In other words, how do we know that even Shterius is Metami B'Mishkav U'B'Moshav, which as we said earlier is the main unique Chumrah of the Zav, that is Mishkav U'Moshav is Metame a Tumas Ava Tumah to be Metame Adam V'Kelim, not just Ochlu U'Mashkin like a Rishon the Tumah, and this is going to be derived from a drasha of Rav Simon. As far as the drasha to derive Zayin Nekiyim, we're going to get to that a little bit later. That's not Rav Simon, and then the Gemara is going to try to compare and contrast the two drashos, that of Rav Simon and the second drasha about Zayin Nekiyim, which we'll get to very shortly. The Tana Rabban Rav Simon Omer. So we go back to the parasha. Maybe we can open up to the Chumash at the beginning of Vayikra Tezvav. Okay, I'll do that for you. Yeah, I'll give it to you, Osher. I don't need it really much. You, if you don't mind.
All right,
I'll give this to you right away. Okay, so we're in Parshas Metzora. Let me just see if I can open it up here. Here, Tesvav. Okay, we don't need that. Ish ish ki zov mibsaro zov otamehu. So the Gemara is counting how many times, or Simoi counts how many times it says the word zav, and here we have zav and zovo. That gives us two. Okay, that's going to be a zav bal shterios, and then we'll soon see that if we fast forward to pasuk gimel, there the word zov appears three times. Zovo, zostia tumaso, bezovo, ror besaro, es zovo. So we have zovo and zovo. And then it says, oh hechtim besaro bezovo a third time tumaso mo. And that's going to be a zav of gimel rias. And the next pasuk, I think, is going to talk about mishkav u'moshav. And we're going to assume that mishkav u'moshav is common to both these. Later on, we'll see about Zayin Nekiyim.
Because two in the first pasuk, three in the second. Okay.
Right. Just counting how many times it says Zov. That's how Rav Samoy operates here. So that's what he says. He says, Mona Kosuv Shtayim. In the first pasuk, which is pasuk Beis, it says Zov and Zovo, which means two Re'ios. Okay? Ukro Tame. And the end of that same pasuk, as we saw a second ago, is Tamehu. So even though he only had two Re'ios, he's already Tameh. And the assumption is going to be that whatever the parasha establishes about Tuma Zav, namely Mishkav U'Moshav, that's going to apply equally to a Zav Bal Shtei Re'ios. Shalosh. Now we go forward to Pasuk Gimel, Ukro Tameh. Right, and there we said in Pasuk Gimel, if you take a look, it says the word Zov in one form or another three times. And therefore it's telling me that there's a new din of Tumasohi, right? Tumasohi of Tuma, and that's the Tum of Sholosh Re'ios. Now it's a little bit strange, if the Torah has already established Tomehu in the case of Shtei Re'ios, why does the Torah have to go on and add Tumaso bo, Tumaso he, in the case of Sholosh Re'ios? You know, Yesh Meklal Masayim Mona, HaKetzad. So what is the Torah coming to tell me about the difference between Shtei Re'ios and Sholosh Re'ios? There was no need to give me Sholosh Re'ios if you already have Shtayim. And the Gemara answers, this Rav Simoy, Shtayim L'Tuma, U'Sholosh L'Korban. that as far as Tumah is concerned, there's no difference between Shtayim and Shalosh, but the third Re'iyah adds the Chiyuv Karban. And now the Gemara is going to try to figure out how we know such a thing, because it doesn't seem to be
clear.
You know, all that's clear, so to speak, from the Torah is that there's a difference between Shteirios and Shalosh Re'iyos, but exactly how that difference expresses itself, we don't know. And the Gemara is now going to offer other possibilities. The first one is just very difficult. We'll try to read it and see if we can understand it. The Gemara says, Amar, perhaps we could say the following, that Shtayim has a din of Zav L'tuma, meaning as far as Mishka V'Moshe, V'lo L'Karban. Sholosh L'Karban, V'lo L'tuma. This is unbelievable. The Gemara is suggesting here a Havamina, which again is very difficult to comprehend. I'm going to read to you the Turiyev and the way he explains it, but just reading it on the simplest level, literal translation, it means that by seeing the third Re'iyah, he drops the Tumah. Now, when it says he drops the Tumah, Rashi already points out, it doesn't mean that he's tar. I mean, he did see Shteirios plus one, so you can't say that he's not Tumah, but he has the status of a Balkeri. And a Balkeri only has Tumas Erev, which is called, he needs Erev Shimsha. So it comes out like this, again, according to the literal translation of this Havamina of the Gemara is saying that when he sees his second Re'iyah, then he becomes Tomei in the full-fledged Tumas Zav, which means that he's Metame Tumas Chamura, and even his Mishkav Moshav is an Avatum. But if he sees a third Re'iyah, then guess what? He drops his level of Tumah by one major madriga, meaning he's no longer a Zav, because he had a third Re'iyah. You hear this, Rav Osei? If he had his third Re'iyah, he's not a Zav, except for Karban, but not as far as Tumah Vitara. So I have here the Turi Evan in the back. He tries to make sense. Some sense out of this, because how could it be that a third Re'iyah would be Mafkia, his Tumah? So actually, even before, I should mention, before we get to the Turi Evan, he says the following, that before the Turi Evan, about, I would say about 100 years maybe before the Turi Evan, we had the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua, the Sefer Megillah, is pretty basic. And he says the following, Eich yala dover zel adas. How is it possible? He says, where do we find such a thing that because you saw a third re'iyah, you drop your tumah? I mean, the third re'iyah should add and intensify your tumah, not drop it down by a level. He says that the only way of understanding the maksha, the havamin of this gemara, is the following. He says the Maksha never meant to say, please don't accuse the Maksha, you know, because when we learn Gemara, we take the Maksha very seriously. Yeah. Don't accuse him of saying that the Zav, by virtue of his third Re'iyah, becomes Tahar. Ela ein kushas ha-Gemara elosha ha-Zov ha-Yotze b'Re'iyah shniya shemetami b'masa yechomur yoser me'azov shal ha-Re'iyah shlishis. In other words, we've been focusing now on two types of tumah, two categories of tumah. Number one, we spoke about Mishkav u'Moshav, and number two, we spoke about Mago, when he comes directly in contact with let's say, Odom Mekalim or Ochlin u'Mashkin. Now we have another category. We have something called Tumas Masa, where he doesn't actually touch it, but on the other hand, he carries it. In other words, it's not that his weight is on top of the object, but that the object is on top of his weight, and his weight is carrying the object. That's called Tumas Masa. And the Gemara now is raising the possibility that the Chumra Vazav, which, as we said over and over again, is Mishkav U'Moshav, includes within it Tumas Masa. And the Gemara is suggesting the following possibility, that Chumra of Tumas Masa is generated by and limited to the second Re'iyah. But with the Re'iyah Shlishis, there's no Tumas Masa. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about the Zov itself. Not the Zav, but the Zov. Zayin Vav Beis. Again, I don't know what it's called. It's some sort of emission from the body. It's called venereal disease. But whatever it is, the question is, what's the status of the Zov itself? Is the Zov itself metame betumas masa? And the Gemara wants to say that the Nahama means that there's a special chumra that the Torah attached to the second re'iyah, because the Zov that came out in the second re'iyah is that which generates tumas zav. Do you follow what I'm saying? And it, perhaps in the Havamina, the Gemara insists, maybe what the Torah is telling about Tumah Zav is that with regard to Shtei Re'ios, there's a strange phenomenon here, which is a Chumra in Shtei Re'ios that doesn't apply to Shalosh Re'ios, because the Zov itself of the second Re'ia is what generated the Tumah Zav. If you follow what I mean? There's like a Heftzi and a Gavra. The Heftzi of the Zov generated a Tumas Gavra of Zav. And therefore, there's something very special about that second Re'iyah. That Zov of the second Re'iyah has a Chumra in it, insofar as the Torah saw it as a halachic process that's initiated and generated by the second Zov. And that second Zov, it has the Chumra of Tumas Masa. With regard to the Shalom, the Re'iyah Shlishis, that's going to add the Chumra of the Karmon, but it doesn't change the status of Tumah that already pre-existed the third Re'iyah. So since the third Re'iyah and the Zov of the third Re'iyah doesn't have any special status in Halacha, therefore the Gemara thinks that it's not granted that special Tumah which is called Masa. Again, I can't answer any questions on this, Rav Osa. Again, I plead the fifth. You know, just my goal here is to try to understand this at least on whatever level I'm capable of understanding. Okay. So again, just to review, the Pnei Yehoshua cannot possibly fathom a havamin of the Makshan that we drop the Tumas Zav because of a third Re'iyah. It just doesn't make any sense. He's already Tomei Tumas Zav with the second Re'iyah. So how can the third Re'iyah in the Gemara's Havamina drop him down to a Balkari? I mean, he doesn't have a Tumas Zav Legabi Mishkan Moshe. And the answer is, we're not talking about the Zav, says the Pnei Yehoshua, but we're talking about the Zov. In any event, let's go back to the Drasha Sagamara, because basically this sugya is the sugya of drashos. So the Gemara now rejects this havamina. The Gemara says amrit. No, it's impossible to maintain that svara. Ad shalo ra shalosh. He says before he saw the third re'iya ra shtayim. In other words, if this is the way the Pnei Yehoshua explains it, is as follows: since the zov of the second re'iya was metame, how could it be that the gavra himself he contaminated himself, he received a contamination of a tumah zav, and he has the status of a zav. So now the Gemara argues the zov itself is the zov of a zav. So even though you're right in the Havamina that the zov itself does, in the third Riyah, does not generate the status of a zav, but nevertheless that zov is the zov of a zav, and the zov of a zav is matami betumas masa. So in other words, basically the vacillation according to the Pnei Yehoshua between the Havamina and the Maskot is the following. What generates a Tumas Masa? Is it the Zov, i.e. the Zov that generates the status of Zav, or is it the Zov, or the Ziva if you want to call it, of a Zav? So the Maskot is that it's the Ziva of a Zav. And if it's a Ziva of a Zav, then the Zav who saw a third Riyah is even, how much more so of a Zav is he than the Zav who saw only two Riyahs? Horaya, he brings a Karmon, which is a Zav of two Riyahs, doesn't bring a Karmon. The Gemara is still not happy with this. The Amar, maybe you could differentiate again, we're still trying to figure out why the Torah bothered spelling out both a Zav of Shtei Riyahs and a Zav of Shalosh Riyahs. Maybe it's to tell me the following. Shtayim lekarbon. Maybe the Torah wants to impose a karbon on a zav bal shtei re'iyos v'lo l'tuma. No, it's his tuma is that of the low level, which is called a bal keri, but he doesn't have a tuma of mishkav u'moshav. That per se is okay, but the paradox here in the Gemara's Havamina is that he would have to bring a karbon. It's very strange. Hey, Moshe, we have a seat for you here. Listen to the paradox of the Havamina. On the one hand, the Zav Shtei Re'iyos is not Tomei, meaning he doesn't have Tumas Zav, and the Nafkimi is going to be Mishkav Moshav. But on the other hand, he's going to have to bring a carbon of a Zav. Where shalosh af l'tuma. And so basically what the Gemara is saying is that we assume a kind of a totem pole here, if you know what I mean, just some sort of going from one madriga to the other. No, it's once you're a zav, then you bring a carbon at the end of your ziva when you go through the transition into tahara. Obviously, first you want to be a zav, and once the Torah declares you a zav, then in the process of purification you have to bring a carbon of chatas viola. Now the Gemara is setting up a paradox in which the carbon is a separate independent entity to the extent that you could have someone who's not a Zav, but yet he's chayiv in the carbonos of a Zav. And that's going to force the Gemara to introduce a whole new Yalfus over here, Lo Salka Daita. It's not possible to say that a Baal Shtei Re'ios is chayiv in a carbon even though he's not a Zav. Disanya, because we have another drasha in a Braisa. And this drasha is focused on the carbon of a zav. Okay, so now we want to open up the chumash again, and we're now fast forwarding in the same parasha, the pasuk tezvav. If somebody could look at it's on this page, pasuk tezvav. Uh-huh. If you can find it, and the pasuk should say something about the carbon.
Yes, yeah, tama kohen.
Okay, to say the chiper alav?
I don't know. No. The chiper alav.
Oh, good, we got it right. Okay, the chiper alav hakohen lifnei Hashem mizovo. Now, whenever you see the mem as a conjugation I'm going to use the word adds, but the truth is it subtracts, really. It's really a miut, not a ribui. Whenever you see the Torah adds the word mem to a word, then it means yes and no. In other words, it only under certain conditions or circumstances and not under others. Okay, so mizovo. Now, the subject of this pasuk is kapar, which means carbon. Kapar is a synonymous term in the Bible for a carbon. So the Torah is saying that the Kohen is going to bring the carbon on behalf of the Zav, but mizovo. So what does that mean, mizovo? Now again, you and I might have said that the word zovo here, as we saw in the Pnei Yoshua earlier, refers to the emission itself, the liquid that comes out of his body. But we're assuming, no, that the word zovo refers to the gavra, to the person. And now, in order to justify the mem of mizovo, we're gonna organize two categories of zovin. And again, we only have two categories. We have a Baal Shtei Re'ios and a Baal Arba Re'ios. Correct? Shosh. I'm saying Shalosh Re'ios, I meant to say. Well, so Mikzas Zovin Mevim Karbon. Since the Torah adds this Mem as a Miut, it's only part of the Zovin. It's one category of Zovin. Mikzas Zovin Ein Mevim Karbon. And there's another category that does not bring the Karbon. Only Mikzas Zovin bring a Karbon, and not the other mikzas. The other mikzas does not bring a carbon. Ha-ketzad. So now what we're doing is the Gemara is putting two and two together, if you follow what I mean. Well, that's a bit. It's actually two plus one together. But anyway, what I meant to say is the following. That at the beginning of this Perek Tes Vav, the Torah itself differentiated between two Re'ios and three Re'ios. But we had no clue what's the difference between the two. But now when we get to the parasha 15 psukim later at the beginning of this parak of Karbon, here the Torah says yes and no. There's one category of Azav that does bring a Karbon, the other category that doesn't. So now we go back to the original distinction in the parasha between Shtei Rios and Shalosh Rios, and we didn't have any clue what's the difference al pi halacha between two Rios and three Rios. But now that we know in Karbon there's a difference between one category of Azav and another category, so we do kind of a hatama, you know, this fits into that. And we say that when the Torah originally differentiated between Shterius and Sholshius, it must be the differentiation between Mizovo, Mixazovo, Volokolzovo, as to who brings a carbon. Hakeitzad, Ra Sholosh Mevi, he brings a carbon. Shtayim, if you only saw two Rios, Eno Mevi, he doesn't bring a carbon. And now the Braisa itself, this is even before the Gemara, tries to argue against this, and say the following. Oh, maybe we could argue something else. Eino ela rosh tayim mevi, rosh shalosh eino mevi. Maybe it means paradoxically that in the case of two re'ios, he should bring a carbon, but if he has three re'ios, he doesn't bring a carbon, which again might mean that we give him the full-fledged power of Tumas Zav in terms of Mishkav and Moshav, and therefore we alleviate him of the Karbon. Amrit, it's impossible to say so. Why? Because Adshalo Rosh Alosh Rosh died. Because already he incurred a Chiyuv Karbon when he saw the second Re'iyah. Either on the same day or on the following day consecutively, but he saw Shtei Re'iyos. At this point, he becomes a Gavra Bar Chiyuva in the Karbon. And that were that you're agreeing, even according to your Amrit, even according to your counter argument here. So what happens now when he sees his third Re'iyah? He drops the Chiyuv Karbon. Why should he drop the Chiyuv Karbon that was already Chal? The Gavra became a Gavra Bar Chiyuva as far as the Karbon is concerned. Oh. Now wait a second. At this point, the Gemara now takes a step backwards and compares the drosh of Rav Simoi with the drosh of this Braisa. What do I mean? We already have, according to Rav Simoi, a clear-cut distinction between Shtei Rios and Sholosh Rios. And we've excluded any other possibility in terms of the difference between the two, other than Karbon. It's got to be Karbon. Now we have a second drosh in the Braisa, the Chippur Olav, with the word Mizovo. That Mizovo tells me there's a difference between Shtayim and Sholosh, and the only difference we can justify is Karbon. So the Gemara goes through what's called Vietzdruch, right? A classical whole methodological sugya in the Talmud. Why do we need both drushes? If I only had one drush, I would not have known X. If I had the second drusha, I would not have known Y. So I need both drushes. Itzruch, dear Rabbi Simoi, we need the pasuk of counting up how many times it says in the psukim Zav. Vietzruch Mizovo. We need the Bryce's drusha, the extra letter Mem. The mute of Mizovo. Oh, now the Gemara goes to the logic. De'imi, the Rav Simoi, if we only had Rav Simoi, Havamina Ki Kushyan, we would have asked our question again. That maybe what the Torah is telling me is that the Baal Shtei Re'iyos, he's a Zov only as far as the Chiyuv Karbon is concerned, but not as far as the Chiyuv Tumah. Because we don't have that totem pole that I discussed before, that first you become a Zav and then you're Chayv in Karbon, but Karbon is a separate entity. So it would come out that in the case of a Zav Baal Sholosh Re'iyos, who's a Zav Gomor, he's a complete Gomor, then what he incurs here, that's what we add to his Chiyuv, is the Chiyuv Tumah, is the Tumas Zav. Meaning, even in the case of a Tumas Shtei Re'iyos, he has a Chiyuv Karbon, but he doesn't have Tumas Zav. When does he get the special Chumrah of Tumas Zav with Mishkav Moshe? That's only with the third Re'iyah. Right. Okay, then? So again, Rabbi Osai, in the Havamin, if we only have the Drosh of Rav Simoi, we believe that a Tomei B'Shtei Re'iyos is not really Tomei at all. He's a Balkeri, but he's not a Tomei B'Tumas Zav with Mishkav Moshe. He only has to bring a Karbon of a Zav. Now we need Mizovo to indicate that the difference between Shterius and Sholoshrius is in the parish of Karbon. That the only difference between Shterius and Sholoshrius, it's not relevant to Tumah, but it's only relevant to Karbon, whereas Sholoshrius has to bring a Karbon, Shterius does not have to bring a Karbon. Oh, now we have to go the other way around. Ve'i Mizovo, if we only had the extra mem in order to be mamayit a certain category of a Zav who doesn't bring a Karbon, lo yadana kama re'iyos. Right? We don't have the distinction between Shtei Re'iyos and Sholosh Re'iyos. Rashi throws in a monkey wrench here to the sugi. He says that maybe the only time that there's a parash of Zav is only when you have three Re'iyos and four Re'iyos. Now, where does that come from? Three Re'iyos and four Re'iyos. Again, in the Havamina. That if you have three Re'iyos, then you don't bring a Karbon. If you have four Re'iyos, then you chayav a Karbon. Where does that come from? I mentioned it last week, if anybody remembers. From Zava. Because in the case of Zava, she needs three Re'iyos to be a Zava. You know, that's the difference between a man and a male and a female in this context. That a man becomes Tomei Betuma Ziva after Shtei Re'iyos. A woman only becomes a Zava after she has three Re'iyos. So there was a Havamina here to say that if the Torah in the parasha of Zav is differentiating between Karbon Ahin and Karbon Aher, maybe it means that we're talking about the classical three Re'iyos versus an extra Re'iyah. When the Torah in the parasha of Zav adds a Karbon to boot, it meant that he had a fourth Re'iyah. But as far as the basic tumah is concerned, that's incurred by three re'iyos. Kamashmal and Rav Simoy counts the number of times that it says zav in the parasha. And in one part of the parasha it says shtayim, that means two re'iyos, and the other it says sholosh re'iyos. So now we put the picture all together, and we come to the conclusion that the difference between yeh karbon and nein karbon is the difference between shtei re'iyos and sholosh re'iyos. In shtei re'iyos there is no karbon, in sholosh re'iyos there is a karbon. And now it comes out that the full-fledged tumas ziva is incurred with shtei re'iyos. And that's why the Torah mentions zav twice in that first pasuk in this parasha. So why did the Torah go ahead afterwards and mention zav three times to indicate a third re'iyah? What does the third re'iyah change? What does it add? And the answer is, now we have to fast forward to the parasha of Achi Pearl Vakohen, and that's the karbon, and here's where we differentiate between shtei re'iyos and shalosh re'iyos. So let's just again review the Gemara. It comes out like this, that if we only had Rav Simoy, then we might have come to a very paradoxical conclusion that karbon, that karbon azav operates with its own, it's on its own 2 feet, so to speak. It operates according to, it dances to its own tune. And even before you have a tumah zav, as far as Mishkan and Moshe, nevertheless you have a chiyuv karbon, and that's shtei re'iyos. And therefore, after Rav Simoy's drasha, we're still left hanging in the balance here. We really don't know if the difference between zav, bal shtei re'iyos, and bal shalosh re'iyos is in karbon. Maybe in karbon they're both equal. But the difference is in tumah. And that's why we need the second drush of Mizovo in the parasha of Karban Azav to tell me that there's a fundamental difference between those who fit the bill and they are called Zov Shemaviyim Karban and those who don't fit the full bill and they don't bring a Karban. That's going to be the difference between Shterius and Sholoshvius. If on the other hand we only had the parasha of Mizovo, we would have possibly raised the Havamin of Sholosh versus Arba, 3 versus 4. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Vahashta di amrit lidrasha. Now you're telling me that the word mi, the extra mi of mizovo, is coming for a drasha to be mafkia the karbon in the case of shtei re'iyos. So the Gemara now wants to know v'chiyitar hazov mizovo my darashta be. There's another pasuk that again has the mem in it. Okay, this is pasuk Yud Gimel. I'll read to you the pasuk as I have it. You'll see it inside. Chiyitar azov mizov v'sofalo shivas yomim l'tarasa v'chibes pegadov v'rachatz b'sar v'mayim chayim v'tayer. So I'm also saying this pasuk, the subject of this pasuk is sfiras zayin nekiyim in the case of azav. But the oddity is that again we have that mem, which is like a thorn in our side, because we established in our Mishnah here in Megillah Daf Ches. It's unbelievable. Megillah Daf Ches, we find in the Mishnah that even a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos has to count Zayin Nekiyim. So how do we justify the Mem? You're telling me that the Mem is a Miut and comes to exclude. No, so the logical conclusion should be, if we want to be consistent, is that a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos should not have to count Zayin Nekiyim. And the Mishnah says the opposite. So the Gemara says, Ahu mi boile, that we need this mizova for another drasha, kidisanya, like the following drasha. Okay. Now, the truth is that this brisa has no less than 3 different derivations from this mem. 3 drashos from the mem. Okay then? Let's go through the 3. I'm just going to... Okay. Sorry. I have to tell him to drop me from the list. Okay, so this is drasha number 1. V'chiyitar hazov. So again, we're in Pasuk Yud Gimel now, if you're looking inside. And what does this mean? Mizovo v'safar, etc. Sfira zaynikim. L'chiyifsok mizovo. What does that mean? It means that the very moment he stops seeing this emission, he could already begin to count Zayin Nekiyim. Now, in the footnote, he says that, again, it's very hard for me to evaluate this, so I'm just going to tell you what he says. He says the Havamina here before this drasha was that he would need 2 tvilas. He would need 1 tvila before he starts the counting Zayin Nekiyim, and a 2nd tvila after he counts Zayin Nekiyim. And for that, the Torah says, mi zova, means that it's only when he finishes the Zayin Nikiyim, and he begins to count Zayin Nikiyim immediately after he stops seeing his last Re'iyah, and after, at the end of the process, at the end of the tunnel, that's when he's Tovel in the Mayim Chaim that we discussed before. Again, the Havamina was that you would need two Tvilos, one Tvila before you start Zayin Nikiyim. And again, even though he has, during the period of the Zayin Nikiyim, paradoxically, he still has a full-fledged status of a Zav for all Dinei Tuma Vitara. But nevertheless, his status changes as far as Zayin Nikiyim is concerned. There's the possibility of going through Zayin Nikiyim projects him into a new category. And we would think that in order to clinch that new category of being able to count Zayin Nikiyim, it's not enough that he stops seeing a Ziva from his body. He also has to be Tovel. And again, that Tovel, again, Moshel Amad Dovah Doma, I mean, obviously I'm not equating the two, but the Ramban Shita is that Eved Kanani needs two Tvilos. He needs one Tvila before he starts his period of Avdus, and then he needs another Tvila when he finishes his period of Avdus. So we do have such a thing in Halacha where you need two Tvilos. Again, that's Tvilas Kedushas Yisrael, that has nothing to do with Tvilas Tara. But in any event, now we get to drasha number two. Mi zovo. The pasuk here is telling us that as soon as he stops seeing ziva, he can begin counting zayin akiyim. Velo mi zovo v'nigo. Okay, I can read you to the explanation of Rashi. He says, "Ein over." We don't say shakol ochu mitzora. Ein ze nikiyim. Velo yuchal limno zayin akiyim at sheyitar gam mitzaroso. So again, this is a case that we'll have a little bit later on where he's got two strikes against him. You know, in Gemara language we call it Tarti L'Reisa, right? He's both a Zav and a Metzora at the same time. And the question is, does he have to first free himself and purify himself of Tumas Metzora so that all he's left with is Tumas Ziva in order to count Zayin Nikiyim? And that's what the Mi'ud is telling you, Mi Zova, that all he has to do is get ready to start the process of Taras Ziva, even though he remains Tomei as far as Mitzorah is concerned. So again, I'm not a Baki in Tumah V'Tara, but I do remember that there's something called Tumah V'Chiburim. Like, let's say, for example, if a person is holding on to a cherev that's inside a Nebuchad body, so he contracts a tumas of tome mess, and then at the same time he touches the mess or a different mess. Does he contract two tumas at the same time? It's kind of like, again, you have to forgive me for these mishalim that have, you know, my Rebbe would throw me out of shiur for this, but it's kind of like if you have an overlap between Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, whether or not it becomes one kedusha and one karban or no. The Rosh Chodesh remains Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos remains Shabbos, which is obviously the case. But it gets really complicated on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah by definition is Rosh Chodesh. So is it that the two Kedushas merge into one, or they remain two separate Kedushas? You'll notice in the Piyut, in the Nusach HaTfila, there are two Nuschos about whether on Rosh Hashanah we mention all as Rosh Chodesh. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Alright, anyway. So here also, how do we view a Gavra that at the same time is Tomei B'Tumas Zav, and he's also contracted a Tumas Mitzora? Now the Nafkamina is, if we combine somehow and integrate these two Tumas into one entity, then unless he gets rid of his Tumas Tzoras, he cannot begin the process of Tara for Tumas Ziva, which means he can't count Zayin Nikiyim. So the answer is no, Mizova. That as soon as he sees the last Re'iyah of Ziva, that's it. He starts counting Zayin Nikiyim, and he hasn't yet removed his status of Tzaras. So in other words, he'll be able to do a Tvila at the end of Zayin Nikiyim for Ziva, and a separate Tvila to remove his Tumas Tzaras. And it's not a problem, because these two Tumas remain independent. And finally, we get to the third drush of Mizovo in this Brisa, and that is V'Safar, Limed al Zav bal Shteiriyo Shetoun Sfiras Shiva. Now, what's going on over here, Rabotai, is a very strange phenomenon here. And the Gemara is going to get into this. Because we always assume, you know, when we divide up all drushes into what's called a miut, miutim, and ribuyim, that the word mizovo, the mem, is coming as what? As a mute. But look at this last drasha. We're now telling you that a baal shteri, a zav baal shteri yos is chayav, is tov zayin nekiyim. Which means that we're adding something to the parasha. We might have learned this parasha limited to Sholosh Re'ios, and the Mem of Mizovo is coming to tell you even Shterios. So the Gemara is going to ask on this last drasha. Valo Dinhu. In other words, the Gemara is really asking the following. That, okay, it's not exactly my kasher, but we'll see. The Gemara is asking the following. If you have a full-fledged tumah ziva, and the status of the zav is such that after shtei rios, he's metame betumas mishkav u'moshav, right? That's always your criterion, your barometer for tumah zav. Then how is there a hava mina that he wouldn't have to count zayin nekiyim? You're calling him a zav, and you want to be Matira his status of Zav, then you have to have Zayin Nekiyim. Why do you force feed me the Mem of Mizovo in order to tell me that the Vesofar Zayin Nekiyim applies even to what? Even to a Zav Baal Shtei Re'ios, follow Dinhu. It's logical to assume that for sure you need Zayin Nekiyim. And why is that so? The Gemara says that Im metame mishkav u'moshav, right? In other words, once you're slapping the zabal shteris with the full brunt of tuma ziva, and he's a zav even as far as mishkav u'moshav, is lo yehei ton sfira zayin. Well, what was the hava mina that you need some sort of drasha to tell me lo yehei ton sfira zayin, meaning sfira zayin nekiyim? And here the Gemara jumps over to Zava. And then now we're going from male to female.
Right.
Okay. So what are the dinim of Ziva as far as a woman who sees Dam during what's called the Yud Aleph Yom, the 11 days between Ziva and Ziva? Right? These are Yud Aleph Yom between us being a status of a Nida and being status of... And again, after the 11 days, again, if she sees Dam, she has a status of a Nida. But if she sees Dam during the 11-day period between one Nida and the next Nida, then she becomes a what's called a Mitzah Zava, which has another name to it, as we'll soon see, or a full-fledged Zava. What's a Mitzah Zava? That's a case where she saw two Re'ios of Dam during the Yud Aleph Yom. So after she sees the first Dam, the first Re'iyah, she's called the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, which means that she doesn't count Zayin Nekiyim, she only counts one Yom Naki. And if she gets through one Yom Naki, then she's Toveles. By the way, she can be Toveles on the next morning. She doesn't have to wait till she, you know, the whole Yom Naki passes. That's also true, by the way, in the case of our Nidos, that on the seventh day, technically, they could go to Mikvah. Again, we avoid it, but I'm just saying, technically, according to the Torah law, and that's called the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So she has to count the next day and make sure that day is a Yom Naki. Okay, so he has a long introduction. Let's just see how much time we have. Okay, I think I can fit in this introduction because we did most of it already. Okay, so again, according to the Torah law, everything that we're saying is according to Torah law. A woman sees Dam, she becomes Tmeya Shivas Yomim, and that's called Yimei Nida. And then she can go to the mikvah, and then already on the eighth day, she is Tahora. But now she counts from the eighth day on 11 days. Those are called Yimei Ziva, otherwise known as Yud Aleph Yom Bei Nida LeNida. Now here's the fundamental difference between the two. If a woman is during Yimei Nida, even if she sees 7 days consecutively, she still is only a Nida. She doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim. But once she passes the seventh day, in the eighth day, she's already in the Yimei Aziva. And here's the deal. If she sees one Re'iyah on, let's say, the eighth day, then she shomeres Yom. She counts the ninth day as a Yom Naki, and then she can go to Mikvah and she's Tahora. If she sees not only on the eighth day, but also on the ninth day, that's two Re'iyos, once again, she counts another day, which would be, 8, 9, 10, be the 10th day, and then she can go to mikvah. But if she sees not only on the 9th day, not only on the 10th day, but on the 11th day, for that matter, any 3 days consecutively within that 11-day period, then she becomes what's called a Zava Gedola. She needs Zayin Nekiyim, and then she is Toveles after her Zayin Nekiyim. Okay. Now again, just to make things very simple for us,
to the Din Torah,
it's all Doraisa. We're not learning Masechta Nida because that would be immensely more complicated. But as long as we're holding on to the Doraisa laws, because that's what we're trying to darshan in the pasuk, then we know that if during the Zayin Nekiyim she sees one Re'iyah, even Tipas Dam, then that's called Soteres, and then she has to start from the beginning of counting Zayin Nekiyim. Now, what's her status if she sees 3 days in a row, or after she sees the 3 days in a row, she sees one Re'iyah during the Zayin Nekiyim, which is Soseres? Then she has the same status as a Zav, and she's Metame B'Mishkav V'Moshav. Again, but the only difference is that the Zav saw only Shtei Re'iyos, and the Zava, to make her into a Zava Gedol, saw three Re'iyos.
So you could say the Zava is limiting, in that it's limiting and excluding the Zava who saw it twice.
Right. Because in the case of the Zava who saw it twice, she doesn't become a Zava Gedola, and she doesn't have Tumas, what's called Mishkav Moshav, until she sees the third Re'iyah on the third consecutive day. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. That Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach Shehi Metama Mishkav Shehi Metama Mishkav Umosh. Oh, just 1 second. Now I'm confused. Did I make a mistake over here? What's the din of a Zava Ketana? I told you that she's not Metami Mishkav Moshe. Did I make a mistake? Just 1 second. Zava Ketana. I think I made a mistake here. Let's go over it one more time. I'll have to correct myself. Won't be the first time that you'll hear me correct myself. Okay, Tochiyah, right? Shemitama Mishkav Umoshav, the Eina Teuna Sfiras Shiva.
That's in the 11 days. Now we're talking about.
Right, well, I thought it was only after she sees three Re'iyos. I made a mistake. Let me just read it one more time just to make sure I got this straight. So again, if she sees during Yemei Aziva one Re'iyah, or two Re'iyos. Again, each one of those Re'iyos requires just a Shomeres Yom. But she is Metama Mishkav Umoshav. Okay, good. So I made a mistake. So let me correct myself. I thought, because I was learning like I was taking the maskana of Zav, and I was superimposing it on Zava. It's just, it works the other way around. No, it's even though Zava has a kula in that she doesn't require Sfira Zayin Nekiyim until she sees the third Re'iyah, as opposed to a Zav who has Zayin Nekiyim after the second Re'iyah, but she also has a tremendous Chumra above and beyond the Zav, because the Zav is not Metame Mishkav Moshav until he has the third Re'iyah. I'm sorry, until he has the second Re'iyah. She is Metameis Mishka Moshav even after the first Re'iyah. Sorry. Oh, and that's going to be the Havamina here to explain why, right? What was Alkashi? You had that a Baal Shtei Re'iyos needs Zayin Nekiyim, right? And now the Gemara says the following, that already in Zava, she doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim until after the third Re'iyah. So what was your Kal V'Chomer? Your Kal V'Chomer was, for sure he needs Zayin Nekiyim after the second Re'iyah because he's
Metameh
B'Mishkav V'Moshav. But yet in the case of Zava, even though after the first Re'iyah, and certainly after the second Re'iyah, she's Metameh Mishkav V'Moshav, but nevertheless she doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim. So we see the possibility exists that even if you have a full-fledged Tumas Zima with Mishkav V'Moshav, nevertheless you might not need Zayin Nekiyim. Afatal Titma, don't be surprised, Al Zeh, this case of a Zav who has Shtei Re'iyos, Shafal Pisha Metame Mishkav Moshav, only after the second Re'iyah, whereas if it would have been a female, she'd be Metame Mishkav Moshav after the first Re'iyah, is Lo Yehei Ton Sfira Shiva. Because again, in the case of Zava, which is more chomer, and the Torah slaps her with a Tumas Ziva from Mishkan Moshe already after the first read, yet she doesn't need a Sphere Zion Nikim, right, until she has the third read. So I would also think, in the case of Zav, for sure, where the Torah is even more makil in Zav, because a Zav is only Matam Mishkan Moshe after the second read, so certainly he doesn't need Zion Nikim, Talmud Lomar. And the pasuk teaches me mizova v'safar, that even though he hasn't yet seen a third re'iyah, nevertheless he needs shiva nekiyum. Mixas zova v'safar. Ah, here's where we understand where the Gemara justifies the mem.
Yeah.
The mem is coming to tell me that he only saw mixas zova, and yet v'safar. Nevertheless, he has to count zayin nekiyum liyud al zav bal shtei re'iyah sheton sfiras shiva. Let's see if we can somehow make the plunge to the Mishnah, because the next Mishnah is the Mishnah of Tzaras. Only Rapopla by Maishna Hai Mizova de Marbile. Right now you're telling me that this last Mizova is coming as a ribui to tell you that even though he only saw Mixazovo, meaning Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, nevertheless he needs Zainakir. Maishna Hai Mizova, as far as carbon is concerned, in the Pesuk Mechibro, the Mimait Be Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, that he's not Chayav a carbon. Amalei, Sabai turns back to Rav Papa and he says, "Following Isal Ketaytachai, if you would entertain the possibility that the word Mizovo Limute Hudi Asi, and it's coming to tell you that if he has Shtei Re'iyos, he doesn't need Zainikim, is Lishto Kromine." The Torah didn't have to say anything, and we would have already assumed that he's not Chayev in Sfira Zainikim. Why did the Torah need a mute? If it's only a mute, the Torah didn't need it because we would have assumed that a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim. So why would be Mechadish Zayin Nekiyim in the case of Shtei Re'iyos? V'chi tema asya midina shomer siyom keneged yom tovchiyach. If you're going to say, let's derive from the logic of the fact that he's Tomei, a full-fledged Tumah, is Mishka, of emotion ready with the second Re'iyah, so therefore he should require Shtei, he should require Sphere Zayin Nekiyim, he's shomer siyom keneged yom tovchiyach, that even though she's Metame Mishka of emotion, she doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim until she as the third year, for chi tamen, if you'll say hi mi boile mi zovo velo mi zovo ve umi nigo, okay, im kein lichtov krov chi yitar hazav lishtog is lomeli, why did Torah say mi zovo lomeli shalimin al zav al shtei riyo shetone sfiras shiva? The basic thrust of the Gemara, again we didn't fill in all the details because we're running a little bit out of time, is that We know that the Mizovo is coming as a ribui because logically we don't need it as a mute. We would have assumed that he doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim. And that's based on the fact that a Shomeres Yom, who's even more Chomer than a Zav, doesn't need Zayin Nekiyim until after the third Re'iyah. So B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll pick up the Mishnah of Tzaras. We still haven't come to any definite conclusion about where we go from